For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it. This is Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Special ingredient butcher shop with three Lincoln locations and one up in Omaha. They are located 84th and Havelock, 85th and Old Cheney, and 30th and Yankee Hill and Lincoln, as well as 168th and and 168th and Maple, up in the Big O, as Jay Foreman would say. He is now here. Jay Foreman gets the day off, probably out the rest of the week as well. So you're stuck with me, Austin Orman. Tomorrow, Eastrick will be sticking around for Old School as well. He's got some business to attend to. So since I'm flying solo here at 1040, that means I need you. I need your engagement. I need your involvement all show long. 402-464-5685. Had some great Nebraska men's basketball conversations with Eastrick throughout the course of On the Block. Now into Old School, we'll shift the conversation a little bit more nationally. I'm sure some of you are still in the process of filling out your bracket, trying to win your pool. Not going to say I'm the perfect guy to go to, but here and there, I think I know a thing or two. So if you have any questions, any matchups that you're struggling with for your NCAA tournament picks, I would love to help you through those. We can talk through those. So give me your matchups that you're having some struggles with in the first round of the NCAA tournament and beyond if you'd like. But if we just want to focus on tomorrow's first round, I think that is probably all for the best. Don't forget, tomorrow and Friday, you can join 93.7 The Ticket at Buffalo Wings and Rings on 68th and O. The first 64 people through the door tomorrow will get a ping pong ball with the name of one of the teams in the tournament on it. If your team ends up in the Final Four, you can win prizes, including Wings and Rings gift cards and more. We'll give away prizes at the top of every hour from 12 to 5 on both days. And here's the thing, y'all. No purchase necessary. If you stop by Wings and Rings, you get a raffle ticket when you sit down. You can win appetizers, beer buckets and pitchers, some coolers, Dr. Pepper prize packs, 93.7 The Ticket prize packs, and plenty more. First game tomorrow, 11:15 a.m. Well, I think we're all wearing red tomorrow as the Louisville Cardinals take on the Creighton Blue Jays to kick off the NCAA tournament. Obviously, games run all day Thursday and all day Friday. Great food, great beer, great prizes, and Lincoln's best sports talk all at Buffalo Wings and Rings on 68th and O Streets. Not just tomorrow, but Friday as well. Anthony, on our Sartor Hammond Jewelers text line, 402-464-5685, asks, how far is St. John's going? Man, if St. John's isn't one of the teams I had some of the biggest struggles with when filling out my bracket. The Johnnies confound me. You might have heard me mention this to Strick. I don't love their style of play. They are a physical, athletic, relentless, defensive-minded team, which is not necessarily what I enjoy watching. St. John's loves rock fights. St. John's loves defensive pressure. I prefer offense. I don't enjoy watching St. John's. It doesn't appeal to me. But gosh darn it if they aren't effective. And gosh darn it if the closest statistical and resume-based comparisons for St. John's this year aren't Rick Pitino's Louisville teams that he took to the Final Four. Pitino knows the style of team. He knows how to coach him. He knows how to maximize them. And that's what he's done with St. John's this year. Improved him last year in year one. Now in year two, has him as a two seed. Has him as Big East regular season and tournament champions. It's been an incredible turnaround. An incredible step back up the national pecking order for St. John's under Rick Pitino. How far they're going will really depend on a couple things. Number one is, can they shoot it enough? Can they shoot it enough? Not a good shooting team. St. John's and Michigan State both shoot 30-ish percent from three. Both crash the offensive glass incredibly hard. Both play some pressure-based defense, definitely like to get out and run. St. John's is going to overmatch some teams who just aren't ready for the aggression and the mindset that Rick Pitino has instilled in his guys. Zubi Ejiofor in the middle, RJ Lewis, Big East Player of the Year. Simeon Wilcher plays a role for them as well. It's a team that knows its role. It knows what it's doing, and it executes that mindset, if not always the play. Where I'm a little skeptical about St. John's, Evan Miyakawa pointed this out, St. John's, its entire schedule, hasn't played a team ranked inside the top 20 of Evan Miyakawa's personal rankings, right? Not that the Big East is bad, and St. John's hasn't played many atrocious teams, but they haven't played the cream of the crop, according to the statistical profiles. It would also worry me if St. John's runs into a team that has experienced guards that aren't scared by ball pressure, if it has guys that can get a one-on-one bucket they're hitting that day, or a team that clears defensive glass really well. St. John's makes a living on the offensive glass. Now, they miss a lot of shots, so they give themselves plenty of opportunities. But at some point, you got to be able to hit a bucket, right? I mean, St. John's isn't like St. Mary's, right? Yeah, they're both defensive-oriented, defensive-minded teams. St. Mary's plays slow. They look to execute in the half court, and that's why their offense has failed them. If St. John's is a team that gets kept out of transition, they struggle a little bit in the half court, especially because the spacing just isn't always there. So a team that matches up with them physically might be hard to find, but a team that can handle the pressure mentally can take down St. John's, and a team that has a guy or two that can go get a bucket. And then, of course, there's the ever-popular whistle factor. St. John's is physical. St. John's is all up in your business, all up in your grill. That's how they play. That's how they've always played under Rick Pitino. Pretty much wherever Pitino's gone, that's been the style. And I don't know if it was Greg McDermott or some other Big East coach that said it. Like, yeah, the way you figure out how St. John's is going to do is, you know, how many fouls do they get away with being left uncalled? The NCAA tournament is a physical, physical game. But you also don't want it to devolve into unwatchable slop where it's just bodies flying everywhere. If St. John's gets a loose whistle, St. John's has the potential to make it to the third weekend, the Final Four. If there's a tight whistle in some game and shots aren't falling, then it gets a little tricky for St. John's, who's not a great free throw shooting team, who doesn't have a great field goal percentage. We mentioned not a good 3-point percentage either. And then there's this little bit of history as well. I unbookmarked the note. I know I brought it up at some point this week. It might have been on the bracket picking show I did for the Corner 3 on Monday night. Might have been just yesterday. I don't remember when exactly it got brought up. But St. John's and Michigan State are both in the same boat of teams that went from unranked in the preseason poll to a top two seed in the NCAA tournament. It's rare. It doesn't happen all that often. Unranked to the NCAA tournament obviously happens every year. But unranked to a top two seed, one of the best eight teams in the country per the selection committee, that's rare. And those teams have a super duper sketchy history in March. I think it was on the Corner 3 bracket selection show that I brought this up because the last team that fits that profile of unranked to a top two seed to make even the Elite Eight, I say even, to, you know, all relative, was Kansas State in 2010, Jacob Pullen-led team. Otherwise, recent examples, you think of last year, Iowa State losing in the round of 32. You think of Marquette a couple years ago getting upended by Michigan State in a 2-7 matchup. And I'm of two minds of this. Number one, sometimes we have to update our priors, right? Sometimes we miss in our preseason evaluations. People thought St. John's was going to be better. I don't think people saw St. John's rising this far this quickly. Same with Michigan State. probable tournament team, roster with some flaws and some holes, but not, you know, a top two seed good. People weren't predicting that outside of one voter in the Big Ten's informal media preseason poll that picked Sparty to win the league, which they did in the regular season. So on the one hand, you have 30-plus games of evidence that tell you these teams aren't who we thought they were at the beginning of the year. And yet in March, it doesn't come down to 31 or 32 or 33 games. It comes down to one game. And sometimes we know something before the year. And sometimes a statistical trend is too glaringly obvious to ignore. St. John's and Michigan State have flaws. They're really good teams. They are outright regular season conference champions. Michigan State gets no production from its front court. It doesn't shoot it well, and it's a team of so many guards. Depth doesn't always play up in March. Sometimes depth plays down. The benefit of depth is if a guy or two is off, you can bench him and not feel any drop-off. The downside is, if everyone's playing well and you feel like you have to stagger minutes, you don't let anyone get hot. You don't let anyone find a rhythm. Tom Izzo.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
He was one of the best coaches in college basketball history, certainly of the 2000s. Going to be interesting to see if all four of his lead guards are hot. Who does he roll with? Who's the best matchup? Does that work out for him? Because sometimes when you get down to March, you want your rotation pared down to seven or usually eight, occasionally seven guys where you know who you're going to throw in, you know what your combinations and your rotations are. But then for the St. John's effect, it's can they get away with playing the same style? On a game-to-game basis throughout the course of the regular season, those blows add up for opponents. You know, for St. John's, if St. John's beats Omaha in the first game, they're going to be a tough prep, especially mentally, in the second round for either Kansas or Arkansas. But another team that gets a week off, you know, four or five days off at least between games to get ready for St. John's in the Sweet 16, should they make it there? Well, have a game plan, right? You can hone in on weaknesses more often in March. Teams are going to pack the paint against St. John's and against Michigan State. They're not going to let St. John's put the shoulder down and drive. They're not going to let Michigan State, you know, use lightning quick first steps to get to the rim. They're going to make Michigan State's post beat them. They're going to say, okay, St. John's, you want to play iso ball? You go for it. We'll take our chances with it. So St. John's, in this bracket, could go to the Final Four. If you tell me the Johnnies end up in the Final Four, I am not surprised in the slightest. They are talented. They are deep. They are well coached. But if you tell me St. John's, you know, loses in the second round, that's been really common for teams that fit this profile. Same exact thing for Michigan State. You could tell me that this is a vintage Tom Izzo team that plays the way that Tom Izzo likes to coach and that the Spartans are due for a run to the Final Four for the first time since 2019. Or you could tell me that in the second round, Marquette flips the script on Michigan State. Marquette, little bit of an underperformance. Cam Jones's numbers weren't as bad as I thought they were, but it doesn't feel nearly as impactful. It wouldn't shock me if Marquette beats Michigan State, though, in a role reversal from a couple years ago. So St. John's and Michigan State are two of the toughest teams for me to try to get a pulse on throughout the course of the entire, you know, bracket. Nothing outside of winning a national championship would really surprise me for either of those two teams. Before we go to break, I do want to get to some of the news of the day in college basketball, and that's Will Wade being hired by North Carolina State on the eve of the NCAA tournament. Shout out to my boy, Matt, who I messaged back and forth with on Twitter. He says, it's kind of ironic that Will Wade was fired from LSU 3 years ago when it was 4 days before they played in the NCAA tournament. And now he says he's leaving a job the day before an NCAA tournament game. To his credit, Will Wade was open and honest with his team that he was having conversations to be the next head coach of the North Carolina State Wolfpack. Well, turns out he is accepted or is expected to accept the job as soon as McNeese State is done in the tournament. And there's a lot there, right? Will Wade is going up against his alma mater in Clemson. That's a big game for him. You want to believe that he's been locked in on game prep and game plan and doing everything he can. But how could he be when, you know, the chance to get back into power conference coaching was right there on his door? That's not something you can necessarily sit around and wait for. And it's not something that the North Carolina State wants to sit around and wait for. Made a little bit of a later move in letting go of Kevin Keats. So North Carolina State, you know, can't really pressure Will Wade on the eve of the NCAA tournament to leave his team without a coach. You know, could North Carolina State have operated more like another ACC team Miami did, right? Got it done with Jay Lucas closer to the end of the regular season. Jay Lucas coached for Duke against North Carolina. Was not there for the ACC tournament. Obviously, won't be there for the NCAA tournament. Why didn't North Carolina State do that? It's going to be interesting to monitor Will Wade's focus and the preparation from his team as they go up in the 5-12 matchup, McNeese State against Clemson. I hate how much I love the fit. I still think ultimately Will Wade's just utter manifest destiny is to be the head coach of Memphis. And he would absolutely bring back the Memphis State uniforms on a more regular basis. There's just such a perfect fit between Will Wade and Memphis that college basketball, for the sake of the sport, needs explored. But it's a really good hire for North Carolina State. It's a guy that's won pretty much everywhere he's been. Will Wade started out at Chattanooga, where he went 40-25 in 2 years, went to VCU. He was an assistant coach on that Final Four team under Shaka Smart in 2010-11 that made the run from the first four play-ins all the way to the Final Four. At VCU in 2015-16 and 16-17, Will Wade went 51-20, won the regular season A-10 championship in his first year in charge, made it to back-to-back NCAA tournaments before he was hired away by LSU. LSU was probably the worst stint of his career, but when you go 105-51 and that's your worst, when you make it to three NCAA tournaments in 5 years, would have been 4-5 had the tournament not been canceled in 2019-20, and you win a regular season basketball championship at LSU, that's darn impressive work. Then, of course, he gets fired for, a very infamous conversation talking about making a strong bleep offer to a recruit or a couple of recruits. That came out. That got him fired. Will Wade was a massive part of that FBI investigation into college athletics and the pay-for-play shoe deals behind the scenes and whatnot. So Will Wade took off the 22-23 season from coaching before resurfacing at McNeese State in the Southland Conference. That man, in 2 years, is 57-10. He is 2-for-2 in regular season championships. He is 2-for-2 in conference tournament championships. And he is 2-for-2 in qualifying for the NCAA tournament. I wanted so badly for McNeese State to beat Gonzaga in the first round of the NCAA tournament last year. It was nowhere close. Zags by 21, 86-65. I was a little hesitant. I was a little skeptical to pick McNeese State over Clemson this year after getting burned by the Cowboys last year. And now you tell me that Will Wade is distracted by the potential, the inevitability of another Power 5 coaching job. Again, I'm not going to say Will Wade's doing a bad job getting his team prepped. Clemson's dealing with an injury to one of its glue guys. But man, I'm having a really tough time picking McNeese State, even though I really wanted them to get it done against Clemson this year. Which brings us then to Darian DeVries, who was officially hired by Indiana. And now there's a conspiracy theory going around. I don't know how much I believe it. Was West Virginia intentionally left out of the NCAA tournament as a favor to that university and to Darian DeVries, right? Give him time to get to Indiana and get the roster built. Indiana, of course, also missed the NCAA tournament just barely, but Indiana has declined postseason opportunities. They said no thank you to the NIT and to the college basketball crown. These are two wildly, wildly different guys, right? Will Wade is bold. He's brash. He tells you how it is. I'm not going to say DeVries isn't honest and direct, but he's a little bit more reserved, a little bit softer spoken, more Midwest down-home values compared to the coastal swaggering of a guy like Will Wade. I don't know who's going to be more successful. I like the fit at both places. I think DeVries coming back to the Midwest is going to be big. I think a no-nonsense basketball coach is going to be fantastic for Indiana, where he's not there as fan service. He's not there to massage egos. He's there to coach basketball. Darian DeVries has done a good job of maximizing the rosters that he's been the head coach of. I think Indiana made a home run hire in getting him to Bloomington. But man, I think the ACC needed Will Wade more than Indiana or the Big Ten needed Darian DeVries. That's a league that managed to get four bids to the NCAA tournament, a somewhat surprising inclusion of North Carolina, who, of course, absolutely dismantled San Diego State in the first four last night in Dayton. But man, the three coaches on Tobacco Road right now are John Shire, Hubert Davis, and about to be Will Wade. That is three sides of a triangle. Not a lot of overlap there in terms of personality, style, you know, on and off the court. ACC basketball gets better with the hiring of Will Wade. As a Duke fan, I don't love it. I like North Carolina State being bad. It's fun to look down on the redheaded stepchild of Tobacco Road. But the ACC needs to step its game up. The ACC needs more teams in that kind of Clemson, Louisville tier, right? Louisville, I'm curious to see if Pat Kelsey can sustain that and keep them up at the top, because I do really like Louisville's basketball history tradition, and that's a basketball school through and through, competing with Kentucky, right? It has what it takes. But the ACC needs, you know, Pitt to be more consistent. The ACC needs Wake Forest to stay in that upper teens to lower 20s wins mark, where there are fewer bad losses, you know, fewer quad two games. And I think what Will Wade does for North Carolina State is that he raises the bar for that program. He's going to demand investment. He knows what he's looking for in a roster, and he's going to drag it out of him, right? Patino light, almost, with his style of play. They'll play fast. They'll get a lot of shots up. We'll see how it goes. But either way, absolute slam dunk home run hires, in my opinion, by both Indiana and North Carolina State. Plenty more spots to be filled on the coaching carousel, though, in college basketball, including a couple of Big Ten openings and a big one in the Big East. We'll go through the college basketball coaching carousel when we get back to Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.